Joshua chapter 3 and verse 14 through 17 this morning. And I've titled it, and it didn't arrive this title until a little bit late, but nevertheless the title arrived, Change is Coming. Change is coming. Amen indeed. Often though, I know you shout amen and that's all right, fair enough, but on the most part, we don't really like the change. We're a bit fearful of the change. Or is that just me? Yeah, it's all of you, I know. Yeah. When our local Thai restaurant changes the menu, I am infuriated. That kind of thing, you know? Change can sometimes be a little bit scary. But the title this morning, Change is Coming, really, I hope, just encompasses what we're going to look at and to see what happens here in Joshua chapter 3 and then some other verses that we're going to look at. When you're in a moment of trouble, a moment of heartache or pain or difficulty, how hard is it to know, and this is rhetorical, how hard is it to know that God has it in hand? I'm sure we say it. I might even verbalise it to you. I might believe it with my all, apart from the 0.01%, which goes, God, where are you? What's happening? Have you gone golfing? Is it fishing season? Surely now is the time, Lord, for change to come. It's like the difficulty and the troubles that we face sometimes completely cloud our view. So we can't see anything else. It's like we're blinded by it almost. And all we can see is the problem. It's moments like these, though, church, where church family is great, okay? Because they can see that you're in a moment of the valley and everything's not going great, or you've maybe shared with somebody that you're having a little bit of a difficult time. And church family's fab. One sense, because yes, you can share. And on the other sense, they'll send you a mug which infuriates you. You know the one? The one that says Hebrews 11 verse 1 on it. Yeah, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That is what I need in that moment. No, it is what I need, but I'm resisting the temptation to throw the mug at you. It's one of those moments, isn't it? It's like, I know, but God, where are you? What is happening? I am desperate for some change. Of course, I'd never throw a mug at anybody. I'm hastened to add. But in these moments, and in the verse of Hebrews 11 and verse 1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, is of course the absolute truth. It's the absolute truth. And yes, we know it, but remembering in those moments is tough. Now, I think there's preparation that we can do in the mountaintops to prepare us for the valleys. Yeah? I think if we are smart, that when things are going good or just bang average, that we have an opportunity still to make sure that we are in the Word, to make sure that we are living the Word, to make sure that we are bringing our prayers and petitions and thanksgiving to God, making sure that we are worshipping God, so that when the valley comes, and come it will, in this world, Jesus said, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world, amen? So even in those moments then that we have made ourselves ready, we're in a position of readiness so that we're able, by the grace and the power of God, to get through these moments, because the battles and the trials that are ahead will easily knock us off of our perch if we're not careful. So how do we stand firm in the midst? Let me read with you Joshua chapter 3 verse 14 through 17 and then we'll pray. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is in flood all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. Just making sure you were listening. While the water flowing down to the sea of the Araba, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray this morning that you would speak to us through it. Father, that you would speak through me. Father, we'll be able to put aside all the busyness of the weeks that we've had, and we would just be able to focus this morning on you for this short time. We ask these prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen. These verses are absolutely incredible, and you might think to yourself, well, what has that got to do with changes coming? Well, I thought the same. But when the Lord gave me the verses, I found myself reading over them a few times to go, what is happening here? And it wasn't until I read it for the third time, I noticed something that I've read these verses before that I hadn't actually seen before. God's timing is absolutely perfect, but it does require something from us as well. His timing is absolutely perfect. And in the moments when we think nothing is happening, God is generating inside of us a heart that says, right, Lord, whatever it is, whatever I need to do, I'm willing to step. Church, that is spiritual maturity. I'm willing to step, Lord, because that is Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Because my faith says I'm sure of what I hope for and I'm certain of what I do not see. I'm certain that God is in control. God, I'm certain that you've got a plan. And I'm certain that even through these difficult moments that I find myself in, that you're in control. Amen? So therefore, when we look at this, we say, right, God, what have you got to show us this morning? And what can we do about the situation perhaps that we're in? And in certain difficult situations, there is nothing physically that we can do. But what it can do is strengthen our faith, amen? What it can do is grow our faith. What it can do is expand our faith. And here in these verses, God's timing is absolutely perfect, but it requires the priests to do something first. Let me read verse 15 to you, and this is the verse that jumped out to me after the third time of reading it. Now the Jordan was in flood all during harvest, full stop. That means it's not a brook. Hey? It's not a gentle stream. We're talking about a huge body of water. Okay? So the Jordan is in flood all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan, a day before, that would be helpful, Lord. A week before we get there, that'd be helpful because we'd like some dry ground. Lord, a month before we get there. No, listen to what it says. As soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. How incredible is that? You see, because what is happening there is God is growing their faith. He has said, you are going to cross on dry ground. But the first thing you must do is get your feet wet. You're like, Lord, your time is great, but honestly, these are new shoes. Listen, church, there's a real lesson in this for us because we have to step. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Is God in control? Yes. Is this a step that I didn't think I was ever going to need to take? Quite possibly. Is God still in it? Absolutely, he is. Absolutely, he is. And I may well just have to get my feet wet in order to see God's provision, God's sustenance, God's timing put into action. And we talked about the tapestry before, that on the front of it that God sees looks absolutely beautiful, but the bit that I see just looks a mess. The back of a tapestry, it's never the bit they put on display, is it? But that's where it all happens. God sees this beautiful picture and he knows the outcome. But for you and I, we have to trust. We have to be certain that God is in control. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This moment, I'm certain, for the Israelites was a wee bit tough. But listen, God had been busy upstream. God had been busy upstream. And dry land is coming. But we have to get our feet wet. And in this moment, Israel see God's provision and his protection on full display. But he first needed to see their faith. I won't ask for an amen there, because you're like, woo. I'm always cautious about what I preach on as well, because I feel like change is coming. You're like, Lord, really? Is this where we're going? Okay. And in fear and trepidation. But this is what the Lord has called us to. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, flip to the New Testament and we'll give those on the computer time. John chapter 4, verse 43 through 53. Easy for me to say with somebody else's teeth in. I haven't really got somebody else's teeth in. I felt like you were almost there then for a minute. Anybody? Hello? John chapter 4. And verse 43 through 53, still not easy, second time. Have a look at this. After 2 days, he left for Galilee. This is Jesus. Now, Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honour in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay ill at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. Look at the faith there before I go any further. Every time I read that, I'm astounded, because as a parent, I wouldn't have left my child's side. But faith told him he'd got to. And because of his faith, he said to Jesus, sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. Faith made him turn around and go as well. Listen, the man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 PM, the fever left him. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. And this was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. What a staggering account in that moment. What an account, though, in reality, of heartache and pain. The man was absolutely desperate, this official. So desperate that he would leave his son's side. That was his first step. And when he finds Jesus in verse 49, he says, sir, come down before my child dies. And Jesus replies with the oddest thing and says to him, go, Jesus replied, your son will live. Jesus just said to those people around him, unless you people see signs, you won't believe. And in the moment, the official showed everybody else what Jesus was talking about. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. God showed in this moment that Jesus was able to do what was seemingly impossible. And the man's faith speaks to us today because he turned and he left. And I would argue in that moment, because I like to have a heated discussion every now and again, I'd be like, Jesus, you need to come with me. You've got to be here. Think of the faith that it takes as he's left his son's side to then for Jesus to not come with him, but to say, go, your son is healed. The faith in that moment is incredible. The official had faith that Jesus would do exactly what he said, and the man took Jesus at his word and departed. He stepped for the second time, again in complete and utter faith, this time that Jesus had done exactly what he declared, that God again, church, was working upstream. And in verse 51 and verse 52, while he was still on his way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. And when he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 PM when the fever left him. When the man in faith turned round and stepped, as Jesus spoke the words, his son was healed. And that, church, is breathtaking. But that's just for the one. And when we looked at Israel, well, that was just for Israel. And God's timing and that the change is coming is staggering. For Israel and for that individual and his family who then believed. But church, the same thing has happened for us. The same thing has happened for you if you don't yet know Christ as your own personal saviour. The same thing has happened for you. God was working upstream. And Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8 shows us this truth in action, that God has been working upstream for you, that he's been working upstream for you, that God has been making sure that you have a way out of the situation. You see, it says, chapter 5 and verse 6 of Romans, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The opening line, at just the right time. You see, at just the right time. At just the right time for you. At just the right time for you. At just the right time for you. While we were still powerless, Christ died for us. How incredible is that? That God had been working upstream. God had been making sure that there was a way out for you, that you were able to take hold of the change that he has made a way for you to enjoy. This, church, is Hebrews 11 and verse 1 in action. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. God, I don't see a way out of this situation. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The power of the cross, the power of our Saviour taking our place on the cross, is the complete and utter demonstration of God's love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That God had promised us that he would never leave us nor forsake us. God has promised us and told us that he loves us. God has promised us and told us that he cares for us. He knows every hair on your head. He knows every detail about your life. He knows before a word is on your lips, he knows it completely. This is the God that we worship. And when God knows you in that much detail, church, that scares me. Because I know me. And still, he loves me. Amen? And still, he gave his very best for the very worst of me and the very worst of you. Church, that is God's love. That is him working upstream for you and me who didn't deserve it while we were still sinners. As Alistair shared with us this morning in the break of the bread, while we were still enemies of the cross, Christ died for us. And you have the opportunity this morning, if you don't yet know Christ as your own personal saviour, to step from death to life, to take hold of this change that God has put in the place for you, that Jesus would take your place on the cross. And church, it's just a prayer away that says, I'm sorry for the sin in my life. Please come into my heart and change me. This is the power of the cross. This is the power of the gospel that God has been working upstream for you and for me. Even in the darkest of moments, we can know, church, that he is working and he is bringing about dry ground for you and for me. Let's pray and then we'll hand back over to Barry. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you this morning for your word. Father, may we know that you are busy working away upstream for each one of us. And Father, we thank you for the good news, the gospel, that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would take our place on the cross. And Father, we celebrate this morning those of us who know and love you, have put our faith and our trust in you, that our Redeemer lives, that the grave could not hold him. And Father, that we celebrate this morning knowing that because of the work of the cross, because of the power of the cross, because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ poured out for each one of us, that Father, we can rejoice knowing that we have been set free. And we pray, Lord God, as we continue our worship, Father, as we share together in a time of refreshment after this service, Father, that you'll be in the midst of everything that we do. And we bring praise and glory to you this morning. In Jesus' precious name, we pray all of these things. Amen.